Zinc Media. Feel the power of knowledge.
Fundraising down in D.C. last night. It was a lesbian affair. I shouldn't say affair. People will get the wrong impression. It was a lesbian event. And about 120 people were expected to attend the event. They didn't have the actual final numbers because, you know, it was probably less than 120. They didn't want to, you know, make it look like it was they didn't meet their goal. But it was billed as an intimate fundraiser at a woman's National Democratic Club. Well, woman's lesbian club, more like it. Now, wait till you hear what it costs to attend. If you wanted to attend, it was going to cost you $2,700 per person. So a dinner for $2,700. I hope that was some good filet mignon. Now, for the more generous, those willing to bundle $27,000 ahead of the event also get to attend a special reception with Hillary Clinton. So if you bundle 27 grand, you get special inside. You know, you're buying access again. Isn't that the way it works? With the Clintons, you buy access. You know, hey, foreign governments and foreign dignitaries, they bought access and influence. So I guess, you know, if you can put together $27,000, bundle together 27 grand to give to Hillary Clinton for her campaign, then, you know, that'll buy you some access as well. She knows how to do that. She knows how to get people to pay her for access. Now, not to mention, I don't know how many people can actually afford a $2,700, you know, per plate dinner. So if it's a couple, you know, you're talking $5,400. Right then and there, $5,400 for a dinner for two. What a date. Hello, my fellow Americans. It is I, your lovable host, Elrod, coming to you live from my bunkerized home studio somewhere within the great granite state of New Hampshire, where the state motto is still live free or die. It is not big government or bust. It is, and yes, I checked again today. It is Tuesday, June the 9th in the year of our Lord, 2015, as we march along into this week in the month of June. Now today, we had some thunder. Well, I don't know. I guess there were some thunderstorms rolling across the area, but we got some more rain that was much needed. Now if we're up to Hillary, I'm sure that we would have had to, in order to get significant rain, we're going to need to bundle significant amounts of cash. For her. Now there's a story here that was breaking on CNN earlier today. And it had to do with Hillary Clinton, by the way. And it was kind of an interesting premise. But, you know, CNN of all places. But they have a point. And the point is that Hillary Clinton's real Libya problem, she's got more than just, you know, with most people think is the Libyan problem with the you know, the emails and things like that. It goes much further, much deeper than that. And this is why I say that the woman does not deserve the Democratic nomination for president of the United States. Hillary Clinton has another Libya problem. She's already grappling with the political headaches from deleted emails and from the terror attack that left four Americans dead in Benghazi. But there's something else. There's a broader challenge. And this is, I'm sorry, folks, I just did a Marco Rubio and had a drink of water. Here, listen, I'll have another. Because, that's water. Because sometimes, you know, your mouth gets a little dry when you're talking. And speaking of which, if you would like to talk sometimes, the number here is toll free at 603-835-3224. But sometimes your mouth gets a little bit dry. Yeah, I know some people send me emails sometimes. Why do you say all these weird on off the wall things? Because one, it makes the conversation more interesting. Two, because it just goes to show that my mind is not linear. I have many, many thoughts at the same time. And three, simply because I can. And that's probably the most important reason, is simply because I can. And I can because it's my show. I always love how people always try to get their hands around somebody else's product or service and try to dictate how they should run their product or service. You know, you can give advice. You know, I can always, you know, look at a particular business and say, well, you know, the way you're doing it's kind of foolish, but, you know, hey, if you want to make money, then you probably should listen to people who know better, but, you know, it's your business. Go about your own business. I'm not going to be mad at you. But it's amazing how sometimes people will get mad at you for not taking their input. I like, well, and it's not just, you know, it's not just, you know, the whole notion of being ignored sometimes. I get that. You know, how people can be upset. I'm talking about these people who get so upset at the tiniest little thing, and you don't do something to please them right away. Like, you know, somebody would probably say, well, you shouldn't drink water on the air. And I'll say, well, I'm going to drink water again. In fact, I'm going to drink water again. Hold on. Pure water. Now, I just pissed somebody off for doing that. It's amazing. These are people who want to micromanage your life. They're Democrats, and they're usually, usually Democrats and usually liberal idiots. And they just want to micromanage everything in your life. And you just want to tell them, go away. You know, somebody should invent a new Raid product. You know, Raid, you know, kills roaches dead. We should have, you know, we have DEET and stuff for mosquito. We should have liberal repellent. If you can come up with a liberal repellent, you will make your company will be bigger than Apple. I'm just telling you. And, you know, you'll be on the New York Times hit list for being too rich. You'll be on the Democrats hit list for being too wealthy. You'll be on the Democrat hit list, the liberal hit list for probably having a monopoly. And they're going to want to break your company up, and you know, you'll probably have, you know, the anti-liberal repellent, and then you might have the communist repellent, and then you might have the, you know, the socialist repellent, and they're going to want to break your company up into the three different factions, you know, of your company because you're too big, you're too big. And we got to break up these banks. We got to break up this repellent company. They're too big. All they have, they have the lion's. They have 90% of the repellent market. That's too big. They're a monopoly. just saying. But that is true of liberals. They will be the first to get upset with you. And they will get really upset with you when you don't even take the smallest and most minute of advice to heart and actually utilize it. Now, I've seen it time and time again. And, you know, I've seen belligerent people time and time again. You know, hey, and you know what really smokes some people? Is when you tell them you don't need them. Ooh, that really, especially a liberal man, oh my goodness, you want to see them go off the deep end and flip out on you? Oh, wow, you didn't build that. You need help. You had to have everybody's help. You say, no, I don't need you to be in my business, to help me with my business, to be around my bit, to do anything. I don't need you. Goodbye, be gone. And they will flip out on you. I'm telling you, try it sometimes. If you have a liberal that's bugging you, you know, in your business or in your work, your career, what have you, just try it one day and say you don't, and be sincere that you don't need them, and watch them flip out on you. Because that is like you know, kryptonite to a liberal. You know, he doesn't need me. Yes, he does. He does need me. He needs me. And they all need me. They all need us. They need us liberals because we know what's best. They can't say they don't need us because they didn't build that. They need us. They need. And they'll probably try to pass laws, you know, to force you to need them, much like Obamacare. Just saying. Just so you know, ahead of time. But yeah, just tell a liberal that you do, sincerely, you do not need them. You know, if you have a liberal boss, just walk into his office, you know, one day after he's been belligerent to you or something and just say, you know what? I don't need you and I don't need this job. Because you know what, folks, you don't. You can get another job. But the economy, no. If you're worth anything, you don't have to worry about it. Because if you're worth anything, even in a bad economy, other businesses will recognize your worth and snatch you up. Not may not be things that you like, but you have other opportunities out there available to you. You can even start your own thing. That's right, I said thing. Start your own thing. You know, you could go on tour. You know, Gabriel Iglesias is a prime example of success in this country. And I know some people are saying, how the hell does he go from Hillary Clinton to Gabriel Iglesias, an international comedian? Well, you don't think that Hillary Clinton's a comedian? She's not a funny one, but she is one. so it kind of goes hand in hand. But Gabriel, you know, the Fluffy, for some people who don't know him by his first name, Gabriel, Fluffy, or in the Middle East, his name is pronounced Jibril. Yeah, I saw that. So I think he's hilarious. I think he's hilarious. You know, especially the stuff where you know he gets pulled over by police officers. Isn't that right, Sam? Yeah, that's right. I gotta tell you, he's the funniest thing when you pull over somebody. Because I was a cop. I was a traffic cop. I was a cop. I saw all this stuff. I saw it. I saw, and that's why I say you gotta speak American. And if you make me laugh, I could work with you then. Just make me laugh. And yeah. So Sam gets it. But he's. Gabriel is just hilarious, but he started out at the bottom like everybody else does in every career, and he had to work his way up. He used his talent to work his way up, and people recognized it, and they started to promote him, and he started getting bigger and bigger venues, and then now, you know, he's a internationally known comedian, and he's got my attention. I think he's hilarious. I think I've seen all his, you know, taped televised specials. Man's hilarious. He's like a clean Richard Pryor. Now, Richard Pryor. I mean, he had kind of a foul mouth for 70s and 80s, but let me tell you, Richard Pryor was hilarious. No, let me put that in colloquial terms. Man was funny, yo. He was hilarious. And laughter is a good thing, except when you're laughing at your political candidates. You know, it's good to laugh at clowns, but not when those clowns are your politicians and your leaders. And we don't want to have to laugh at them, because then the joke is on us, pretty much. So Hillary's Libya problem. She's got a broader... Now, this isn't funny, but it is funny, because it bleeds over into Obama, and she's trying to separate herself or distance herself from Obama's strategy and lack of policy and what have you. But it's going to come back, you know, and this is where, you know, Republicans should be, you know, snapping at her heels and biting her in the butt. I probably shouldn't have said that, because some people are going to think, oh, that is just so sexist. Rod is being just perverted, biting Hillary in the butt. What's the matter with you? Yeah. We're not going to go there. But she'll face a broader challenge in what's become of the North African country since, as Secretary of State in 2011, she was a public face of the U.S. intervention, they're calling it, to push out its longtime strongman, Muammar Gaddafi. Now, Libya's lapse into the chaos of failed statehood has provided a breeding ground for terror and a haven for groups such as ISIS. So they went in there without a, you know, now the president's saying, well, we don't have a strategy for ISIS in Iraq, or ISIL in Iraq. We don't have one. And they didn't have a strategy in Libya either. They don't have a real Middle East strategy. They just don't have one. They don't have one that's working. They don't have one that even resembles a real strategy. So she's going to be out on the campaign trail, and she's going to get involved. You know, if she's the nominee, she's going to get hammered with this, rightfully so, by any and all Republican candidates. They should be hammering her on, you know, because they talk about, you know, last week I had Neil from the Ted Cruz camp on the program, and he talked about, you know, Ted Cruz having real foreign policy experience. But I got to tell you, anybody in the Democratic, or excuse me, in the Republican field right now has a better handle on foreign policy than Hillary Clinton. You know, this woman just doesn't get it. Well, maybe she does, but she's not all that. You know, somebody told me, I said, well, you know, Hillary's pretty smart. They said, no, I disagree. I said, what do you mean? And he said, yeah, she's one of the dumbest people you'll ever run across. I said, well, you know, if you're talking raw intelligence, that might be so, but she's pretty smart and savvy politically. And he said, no, she's not, Rod. The woman is a joke. Yeah, hey, joke, comedian. I said, okay, explain yourself, Lucy. And he said, he proceeded to go down this list. And I said, well, yeah, and you consider it that way, but she's still able to get by it all. Yeah, she's got this Benghazi problem. She's got this Libya problem. She's got the Russian reset problem. She's got the email problem. She's got, you know, the Clinton Foundation problem. She's got the China problem. She's got all kinds, you know, the Afghanistan problem. She's got all kinds of problems that could be associated with her while she and, you know, was Secretary of State and with Obama. But somehow that isn't affecting her. So that means that she's savvy enough. And he's like, no, that doesn't mean that she's savvy. It means that her husband is savvy. I said, well, yeah, Bill is savvy. And it means that the Democrats don't have any other candidates, so they put all their hope in her. Well, that wasn't savvy of the Democrats then, was it? He's like, no. And, you know, as it stands right now, unless she does become savvy, and she could become very savvy by hiring, you know, the best campaign people, but and paying them very well, it's hard. You would be hard pressed to envision, you know, January 2017, Madam President elect taking the oath of office. I don't see it. I'm not saying it's not possible, and I'm not saying it's not plausible. It is not likely, but, you know, in love, war, and politics, anything is possible. Which is why you have to be on your toes with her all the time. You can't let her skate. Look, this woman should have to answer for her policy blunders, like Libya. She should have to answer for her policy blunders like Egypt. She should have to answer for her policy blunders like Iraq and Iran and Russia and China. You know, you can't let her off the hook on this stuff. And I don't think that anybody in the Republican side is going to let all this stuff lapse, because, you know, they just her and she and Obama and well, not just Obama, but the French also helped, but they destroyed a nation with no plan of rebuilding it. And that was Libya. They took out a government, a regime that was stable there with it was, you know, you could say what you want about Muammar Gaddafi. You can even, he wasn't a fan of mine, but, I should say I wasn't a fan of his, but you know what? It was a stable country. And now it's not. And, you know, we've seen what happens when you destabilize a country. Well, you know, we had our embassy back there. Well, big deal. We lost four people, four Americans. I mean, do you really think that that was worth it? Do you think all the chaos that came after was worth it? I really got to say, no, it wasn't. But well, you know, I mean, you could say that it was, but I don't think it was. Wasn't worth it in my book. You know, so. But she's got some splendid to do. But only if, because the lamestream media, well, CNN is bringing this up. So, hey, Republicans, you should pay attention. If CNN is bringing this up, then you know that you've got an obligation and a duty to bring this up constantly on her. To get some answers. Force her to answer you. That's what you do when you're in a campaign for president.
Hi, I'm George Foreman. Do you have an idea for a new product or invention? People ask me all the time, George, how do I get my idea in front of companies? How do I get a patent? What do I do next? I'll tell you like I'll tell them all. Call my friends at InventHelp.
Call InventHelp today for free information. InventHelp can submit your invention to companies who are interested in receiving new ideas. Call InventHelp today.
To get your free inventor's information, call 1-800-352-1609. That's 1-800-352-1609.
If you want to work until you keel over, have less of everything in retirement, or give back more of your hard-earned money to the stock market again, then just ignore me. But if you'd like to protect the money you save, receive a steady, predictable retirement income, and enjoy financial security for as long as you live, then listen to this. You can download a free report that reveals the wealth-building secrets Wall Street and the banks don't want you to know. You'll learn how you can get guaranteed growth, safety, and real prosperity without risking your money in the Wall Street casino, and how to get the money you need when you need it, simply by asking for it. This is the best way to have a 100% secure retirement and know your money will last as long as you do. To learn more about this method and to get your free report, go to 52security.com. That's the number 52security.com. 52security.com. Go to 52security.com.
Hurt or injured in a car accident? It can be hard to take the proper legal action after a car accident, but waiting can cost you more. The law requires car accident victims to assert claims promptly. You could lose out by simply waiting. Call 800-709-4667 right now to see what your claim could be worth when handled by a skilled attorney. With a lawyer fighting and speaking up for you, you could be entitled to a big cash award. Call 800-709-4667. That's 800-709-4667. Now it's fast and easy to connect with the legal help you need after your car accident. Call 800-709-4667. The call is free, but you need to act now before time runs out on your claim. You need a lawyer to fight for you, protect you, and get you the compensation you need and deserve. Time's wasting. Call 800-709-4667. That's 800-709-4667. Call now.
I considered suicide so I wouldn't put my family through all the pain.
Many of our warriors are returning home from the battlefield, only to face a new war, as they struggle with devastated injuries. At Wounded Warrior Project, we understand. We're there to help.
Even though you think you're broken, you're not. It's the physical and the emotional healing that Wounded Warrior Project provides.
With a gift of just $19 a month, you can join Wounded Warrior Project. You'll help provide critically needed programs and services that rebuild lives.
Beautiful!
The ongoing needs of our wounded and their families will continue for many years to come. Now is the time to show your support. Call now or go online with your gift of just $19 a month and we'll send you this Wounded Warrior Project blanket.
It made me feel that there's people out there that care about us.
After this event, we can finally maybe start to heal as a family and move forward.
We need your help. The families are hurting.
For many of our wounded heroes, the greatest casualty is being forgotten. That's why your gift of just $19 a month is so important. Please call or go online right now.
You shouldn't have to pay to talk to the people closest to you, or the people who used to be. That's why Umbrella Wireless is proud to announce the new Friends, Family, and Recent Ex-Girlfriend plan. Now you'll get unlimited calls to your best buddy, your mom, or Cindy, once she realizes that you're seriously meant for each other and should stop screening your calls. Now the 30 minutes of agonizing silence where you're both afraid to hang up may drain your battery, but it won't drain your wallet. And you'll get unlimited calls just to check if she still cares enough to pick up, with no extra charges. With the Friends, Family, and Recent Ex-Girlfriend plan, your phone will automatically answer calls from your ex, because maybe she finally realizes that you're the only one for her and wants to get coffee sometime. Now, after lonely nights of looking at pictures of the road trip you took together when everything was great, your misspelled texts are absolutely free. The only thing you have to pay for is the booze. The Friends, Family, and Recent Ex-Girlfriend plan. Because she wants you back. She just doesn't know it yet.
Rod Nichols.
for the final segment of this program, this episode, if you will, of the Rod Eccles Show. I hope if you haven't seen Game of Thrones, you better see it tonight, because tomorrow I'm going to talk about it. Tomorrow I am going to talk about Game of Thrones, latest episode, how it rolls into what we're doing here in our wonderful government, in our electoral system. And you better be up on your game. You better be up on your game, Game of Thrones, because I'm going to talk. You know who else likes Game of Thrones? Sam. Sam, you like Game of Thrones? I got to tell you, Rod, yes, I love that show. There's nothing more American than Game of Thrones. Sam, that's actually a British show. Well, well, they speak American, right? Well, so it's an American show because, those Brits speak American.
Well, actually, Sam, they speak English.
Well, that's American. So anytime a show speaks American, I can get behind it 155%. Okay, so Sam will be listening in tomorrow. With me talking about Game of Thrones, so you better watch it tonight if you have not seen the latest episode. What are they call? Are they calling it Eps? No, I don't. They shorten everything nowadays. Eps or something. I don't know. But anyway, I will bring it full circle, obviously, and relate it to what is going on in the United States political realm. And you're just gonna have to be here to listen to it. It'll be brilliant as usual. Of course, the Obama administration, has a little bit to do with Game of Thrones here, because Game of Thrones is what? It was before the Industrial Revolution. This season where if you haven't, if you've been paying attention, if you didn't know before, but it revealed a little bit about how old the kingdom is. I mean, this season is telling us that Jon Snow is the 998th Lord Commander of Castle Black. So the wall has been there for many moons. And it's they talked about, you know, that other characters talked about, you know, the age and, you know, some 6,000 years and the in an ancient city that was, you know, thousands of years before this current age and that kind of stuff. And it's really quite fascinating to try to figure out how old all that stuff is. But I don't exactly know how old the kingdoms are, the realm is, for them. But it's kind of like, not Game of Thrones, but Lord of the Rings, you know, because now they're ushering in the Third Age. And of course, you know, they've been around for a thousand years or so. The elves have been around much longer before then. Unfortunately, not a lot has changed over those years, those many, many, many years. But it's kind of pretty much like human history. There wasn't a lot of huge advancement over eons and eons. Actually, someone, you could argue the fact that we went backwards a couple of times in human history, because, you know, we had the ancient very smart ancient known civilizations of ancient Greece and Egypt, with their fantastic mathematics and science and architecture. And then we went backwards, and then we ended up with the Roman Empire. And then we went really far backwards with them. And then, of course, you know, we've had there are the Asian dynasties, which were pretty advanced on occasion. But it's hard to say that there were a lot of advancements that we know or considered to be advancements, because there weren't a lot for eons, for, you know, millennia. And then we get these advancements, and along with these advancements, we start getting these people that are starting to say, well, you know, we shouldn't have done these advancements because now we're polluting the planet. And part of the thing is that we have this, this is from The Hill. The court rejects challenge to Obama climate rule. In other words, the court is now giving Obama pretty much carte blanche. Any administration, carte blanche to do whatever they want. A federal appeals court on Tuesday threw out the first judicial challenge to the Obama administration's landmark climate rule for power plants. Now, the Court of Appeals for the District of Columbia Circuit ruled that the energy companies in states that filed the lawsuit had jumped the gun, and the court cannot yet review a regulation that has only been proposed but not made final. Though the decision was widely expected, it nonetheless hands the Environmental Protection Agency, the EPA, its first major win in defending President Obama's key executive action to fight climate change. Climate change that does not exist. Man-made climate change does not exist. And I know you have some people that'll say, well, you know, even if we're just causing a small part of it, we should change it. Look, I am not saying pollute unnecessarily. I'm not saying just ruin our planet and our climate. Absolutely not. But when you're not at fault for doing something, then you cannot fix it. When you're not in control of it, you cannot fix it. In other words, we're not in control of Mother Nature, so we can't fix it. You know, we can clean up a mess that we make, sure. You know, if we have an environmental mess we can clean it up. But, you know, when it comes to doing things like, you know, well, stopping volcanoes from spewing, you know, ash, soot, and smoke in the air, well, we can't do that. You know, when it comes to Mother Nature changing, you know, the jet streams in the air to points that change the weather patterns dramatically. Well, we can't snap those jet streams back into order. We have no power over that. You know, when the when you have El Nina and La Nina and all that kind of other crap that they're talking about out there in ocean currents that change, well, we can't change it back. We can't do any of that stuff. We don't have any control over it. So, you know, yeah, sure, we can, you know, do a little bit of cleaning up. You know, we can not pollute as much, not as put as much pollutants in the air. Great. But you know, the small amount that we have dumped in the air over the past 100, 150 years is not going to be enough to modify or change or dissuade the climate in any way, shape, or form. I mean, it's just pure arrogance to think that we could do such a thing. Now, the EPA says that they want us to do something that they can, or excuse me, the judge says that they want us to do something that they candidly acknowledge we have never done before, review the legality of a proposed rule. But we can't do that. But a proposed rule is just a proposal, he says. And he's right. You can't really go and rule on a proposed. Oh, yeah, that proposal is unconstitutional. Well, you don't even know what the proposal, you don't even know what it's going to end up being. You know, proposals aren't legitimate laws or regulations. So you can propose anything you want. Doesn't mean that it's going to become law. And frankly, that's, you know, regulation has the same weight as law, so it might as well just be called a law. But the Obama administration, with that, Reddy's big push on climate change. Now, this is from the Wall Street Journal. Proposals to curb emissions from trucks, airplanes, oil and natural gas operations, and power plants, which all is going to translate to bigger bills for you and me. More money out of our pockets, because it means that energy production and the transportation of goods and products and services is going to go through the roof. The Obama administration is planning a series of actions this summer to rein in greenhouse gas emissions from wide swaths of the economy, including trucks, airplanes, and we know, look, we're not the biggest, world's biggest polluters anymore. Hell, that, you know, we're told that India and China are now up there. So, you know, we could stop polluting 100%, and it still isn't going to change much, because India and China aren't jumping aboard this, you know, this man-made global warming crap, and neither is Russia. And let's face it, when the Soviet Union fell, Russia was an environmental nightmare. You know, we thought we had some dirty rivers and lakes here in the United States. But when that Iron Curtain fell, we could peek inside and behind the Iron Curtain, man, we could see some pretty nasty stuff. And even our most polluted lakes and streams looked pristine compared to some of the stuff over there. So we're not the only ones doing this stuff, but you have these liberal nut job idiots who want to who want you to think that we're the sole cause, or we're the major cause. We're not. We're not the sole cause. We're not the major cause. And you know, the funny thing is that they know it. They know it. They know it. The left knows it. But they just want to be able to control you anyway. It's all about control. It isn't about saving the planet. Just so you know. Just telling you. And here's something that's a little bit disconcerting, actually. And this is from the Politico. Republican. Yes, I said Republican. Republican pledges $175 million to push party on climate. A North Carolina executive. North Carolina is pouring his own money into trying to sway people in the GOP to take global warming seriously. Bah ha 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 ha. That's how, you know, I'm going to digress for a second. There are people out there that believe in the chemtrail thing. And, you know, and if you don't know what chemtrails are, look it up. But the short description is that there are people who believe that the government is using commercial aircraft to spray mind control and weather control chemicals into the air while they're flying hitherto. And one of the pieces of evidence that they're using is, you know, sometimes you can see in airplanes, you can see they're leaving behind a cloud. Well, that's proof of the chemicals. Now, even when you go to the plane, when it lands, And you inspect and investigate and say, well, okay, well, where are the spray jets and where are the spray canisters for all this stuff? It can't be found on the plane. Well, they hid them. Or they put the chemicals in the fuel and it comes out, so they burn it. Burned chemicals are really not going to do much to the population, but okay. So it gets ruled out, but yet they still believe that somehow that plane is part of the conspiracy of spreading chemtrails, and that pilots know this. You know, airline pilots know, and they've been sworn to secrecy under threat of and pain of imprisonment and all kinds of other things. I'm like, really? And that goes for all the mechanics, too, that work in the planes and all the, you know, the people at the air that work at the airport that have to serve the planes, like putting fuel in the planes and things. Yeah. All those people are in on the conspiracy, and nobody is breaking the conspiracy because everybody's afraid of going to jail, I guess. Government putting them in jail. Or is it because, you know, they've been hypnotized or what have you with the chemicals that they're using. So this is the same thing that is happening with global warming. No matter how much evidence you present to people that global warming does not exist, it's a fakery, they're not going to believe you. They're going to believe what they want to believe. I don't care how much proof you show them. I don't care how logical you end up trying to be with them. It doesn't matter if you're using PowerPoint or cartoons or what have you. It doesn't even matter if you give them a joint and say, smoke the whole joint, and then talk to them in a very friendly manner. They're still not going to believe you. They're going to believe what they're going to believe. Now, a Republican entrepreneur is putting a whopping $175 million behind a campaign whose message will have some party stalwarts seeing red. Now, he says the GOP needs to deal with climate change. Yeah, we need to deal with the fact that there isn't any, at least not man-made. Now, North Carolina businessman Jay Faison, F-A-I-S-O-N, I do believe that's how you pronounce it, will launch a social media and online advertising blitz backed by state and national digital advocacy efforts and a series of strategic grants as part of a $165 million campaign run through the Clear Path Foundation. The aim is to get the Republican Party to shift its skeptical view of climate change and green energy, topics that usually fall to the bottom of its list of priorities when they don't generate outright opposition among conservative voters. Well, it's because it's not a very big issue or deal for the voter at the moment. We have other issues. Other bigger issues. Other more important issues. Real issues. Now, in addition to his public education effort, Faison F-A-I-S-O-N, is putting an additional $10 million of his own money into a separate political advocacy operation using the same nonprofit tax status designation as groups like President Barack Obama's Organizing for Action and Karl Rove's Crossroads GPS and several Tea Party groups. I love how they throw in the Tea Party groups. Well, yeah, he's doing the same thing as the Tea Party groups. He will also try to attract additional outside funds for the operation. Now, on Tuesday, Mr. Faison, who made a fortune from the sale of his Charlotte-based audiovisual equipment company, Snap AV, will unveil the first stage of his Clear Path campaign, including spending $40 million through 2016 to persuade moderates and conservatives to join the fight against climate change. There is no man-made climate change. That's the problem. How are you going to fight something that does not exist? You can't. you can cause all kinds of havoc and create all kinds of taxes and economic upheaval, but you're still not going to change the fact that there is no such thing as climate change. You know, man-made climate change. Yeah, the climate can change, but it's not by man's doing. It's Mother Nature making the call here and there. Now, he says, I always felt a little alone out there as a Republican, and I also started ClearPath to create a dialogue around this in a way that hadn't been done before. And sort of be part of the solution, he said in an interview, adding he'd like to see the party's candidates debate the solutions to climate change, not the science. Well, how do you come up with solutions without science? That should tell you there. Well, don't pay attention to the science, folks. No. We need to come up with solutions to climate change, but don't use science to do it. Well, how are you going to come up with solutions if you're not going to pay attention or use science? I mean, science is telling us that we are the problem and that we have climate change. So you gotta, it is. Folks, you know, it's only Tuesday and I'm beside myself already. You know, these people can be total and complete nut jobs and they can drag you down to their level if you're not careful. And you know, you wonderful people out there in scientific or in political circles, don't use science to come up with solutions for a scientific problem. No. Don't use science at all. Don't use science, because that'll only get you into trouble. Right? Because, you know, well, because if you use science, you're not going to believe in global climate change, man-made climate change anyway, and you're going to believe that the Earth is just doing it all on her little own self, as she has done since the dawning of time. You know, be that 6,000 or 60,000 or 60 million or 60 billion years ago. I don't know how old science thinks the planet is, but in any case, they're all wrong. But anyway, it is that time of the night when we have come to an end. Tomorrow, same bat time, same bat channel. I'm Rod Echols. This has been the Rod Echols Show. I'm out.